Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
And we are inside our palatial studios this afternoon. It's Alan Mitchell along with Connor. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good. I'm going to be at the Pint next week. I need to absolutely make sure that you're not going to be introducing yourself to girls in the hallway while we're doing the show. Are you going to be okay with that?
I can't make any promises.
Well, you know what?
If the situation arises, you know.
You know what? I was 21, so that's okay. All right. We're joined now by Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons play-by-play guy and an individual you can listen to if you tune in AHL.com. They've got a great opportunity for you to tune in to all the AHL teams. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I've got my Adiator and my slide rule ready. I'm ready to have you tell me how the AHL playoff race is going.
Well, it's still pretty complicated as far as whether the Barons will make it or not. If obviously right now teams have played differing number of games, so the Barons are on the outside looking in as of today, but eventually the Peoria Rivermen will play as many games as the Barons have, and then that'll make it a little bit clearer because right now Peoria has the last spot in the Barons division ahead of Oklahoma City, but only by virtue of the fact that they played one fewer game. But essentially what it's looking like from this perspective is you have Chicago, Peoria, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio, four teams still in the mix for potentially and most likely two playoff spots remaining in the West. So you got four teams trying for two remaining spots. Right now, Chicago has a one-point lead over Peoria and Oklahoma City, which in turn have a two-point lead over San Antonio. There's a slight game indifference as far as games played. So still have this weekend and next weekend to go. Barons need to continue to win, as they did last night, 7-0 over Rockford, and probably hope for a little bit of strategic help along the way to make it. But still every opportunity, if the Barons take care of their own business, to make it.
Two questions on that. After not being able to score since before Christmas, it seemed like anyway, what happened last night?
Well, it's really been the last three games. If you look back to the last two games they played of a three-game series in Houston last weekend, and they scored fairly readily and gave up quite a few goals in that series in Houston. And the results didn't always go their way, but the goals did. And all of a sudden, the Barons have scored 16 goals in their last three games. Now, they only have a win, a loss, and a shootout loss in that span. But in the seven games leading into this current stretch, they'd only scored 15 total goals. So they scored one more goal in their last three games, and they'd scored in the seven games leading into it. As far as last night goes, for whatever reason, the Barons seem to have the number on former Bruin Hannu Toivonen, who started for the fifth time against Oklahoma City this year, and he has been pulled in four of those starts and has just atrocious numbers against Oklahoma City this year, 782 save percentage. He wasn't terrible last night, but Alexander Giroux had a terrific first period, scored a goal. Colin McDonald, who's the league's second-leading goal scorer, scored twice. He's up to 36 goals now. And then the dominoes just kind of tumbled. Then the young players got into the act in the second period, and Rockford had been playing well last night, but it just became a blowout.
From here, it looks like the Barons improved almost immediately after Giroux went down there. Would that be fair? Is he the straw that stirs the drink?
I think to a large degree he is. It makes such a ripple effect with the other lines. There's a rookie out of Yale, Mark Arcabello, who the Oilers just signed to a two-year NHL entry-level contract after he had been playing this rookie year on an AHL deal. And Arcabello has come on nicely here in the last few weeks of the year after starting the year in the ECHL. And they allow Giroux's sending down here to Oklahoma City, his arrival down here, allows Arcabello to shift to a different line. It balances the lines more, and Giroux makes the power play go that much better. Sometimes they'll use him on the point on the power play, or they'll shift a different forward to the point and it offers a different look. And this team had been rather top-heavy in scoring with McDonald and Brad Moran and Giroux, and it still is to a degree, but with Giroux here, it does add another huge weapon and a guy who has been a first-team AHL All-Star now 3 years running, counting this year, and so it really has made a huge difference.
Back to your original point in regard to the schedule and how many games are left and games in hand, who has the toughest schedule of that four group?
Well, of the four, I think it's San Antonio. They've got a brutal stretch. They play the fewest games of all the teams, for one thing, or at least they're in that echelon of teams that hasn't played as much. So San Antonio's played 75, Peoria's 75, Chicago and Oklahoma City 76. So actually they've closed the gap where they only have one fewer game played than a couple of the other teams. But San Antonio's last weekend is really difficult. So even though they've been a good club much of this year, they've got a 3-3 set next weekend that involves them going to Chicago in the middle game of the 3-3 set and playing the other two games at home. The other teams, I think the schedules somewhat wash themselves out. Oklahoma City has a bit of a tough schedule in that they have to play in three different locations in Texas next week. The travel isn't bad, but the Barons have not fared terribly well in the state of Texas this year. Peoria is able to finish up next weekend at home, so their schedule is not overwhelming. I would say that the toughest schedule is still probably San Antonio's, because Chicago and Peoria get to finish primarily at home, and Oklahoma City is playing its last home game of the year today. So I would give the edge schedule-wise to Peoria and Chicago, and probably give San Antonio and the Barons a little bit tougher road schedule-wise.
Okay, thanks for that. That's interesting, and a really good summary of the situation. There's been a lot of turnover in Oklahoma City this year with call-ups and everything. The Barons have sent a steady stream of quality players to the NHL, Reddick, Solmark, Petrie. In terms of wins and losses and actually playing in the game, which Baron do you think the team misses the most?
That's a good question. I still think the guy that really made things go, and that from game one of the season till early January when he went up, was absolutely as good as any player in the AHL, was Liam Reddick.
Yeah.
His numbers haven't really translated, obviously, to the NHL level like they did in the AHL, but Reddick was such a valuable penalty killer. His speed at this level especially is such a difference maker, and he fits so well with Omark and O'Mara on that line early in the year. And even when O'Mara went up for a while in December, Reddick was still clicking. And as flashy and good as Omark was, and as good as Petrie was at times on the back end, and some of these other guys, I really think that Reddick's departure probably set the team back more than anything else. Down the stretch here, the injury to Martin Gerber, he was injured March 16th. That's hurt the Barons' fortune strictly from an AHL standpoint, not so much from Gerber going up to the NHL, which obviously he's done a couple of times this year, but Gerber's loss has hurt as well. It's not that Jeff DeLaurier and Brian Pitton aren't capable goaltenders and haven't played well in spots, but Gerber was kind of developing into the go-to guy. So, but as far as guys that went to Edmonton and defections that really hurt, Reddick was just phenomenal early in the year.
What was the nature of Gerber's injury?
Well, it was just pretty much a whiplash type thing. Corey Emerton of Grand Rapids had a breakaway. Richard Petio was getting back to check him, knocked Emerton into Gerber, and they all piled into the net.
Okay.
And Gerber's head just snapped back a little bit. It's largely unrelated to his neck injury he had in the Continental League last year. And he's close to coming back. He's day-to-day right now, and he's back practicing with the team. But as of yesterday, at least, wasn't quite yet ready to play.
You know, there's been a lot of turnover, too, on the blue line. Who are the shutdown defensemen right now for the Barons?
You know, a really interesting tandem of late has been Colton Tubert and Alex Plante. They were originally going to play together after the deal brought Tubert into the organization, but Plante was immediately recalled by Edmonton. So Tubert was playing with the other trade deadline acquisition, Kevin Montgomery. Montgomery's been in and out of the lineup some, and Tubert is now paired with Plante, and they're two very long, to use a basketball term, long guys. I mean, they're both about 6'4". They have long reach. Tubert skates perhaps a little bit better than Plante. Plante might be a little more advanced, a little more savvy in his own end, but both promising guys, young guys. I mean, both just 21 years of age. And I really think they've kind of at least begun to share the shutdown defensive pair mode from Jake Taylor and Richard Petio, who are a couple of guys that are more in the AHL veteran category, but Petio and Taylor's plus-minus has been solid all year, and they've been a very solid pairing, but lately it's kind of been fun to watch Tubert and Plante.
They're similar styles, though, right?
Tubert and Plante, yeah. I mean, they're both physical, and they're both capable of you know, looking after their teammates, but are much more than just one-dimensional guys in that regard. And Tubert shoots a little better and may end up contributing a little bit more offensively in time than Plante, but they do have similar attributes. I think Tubert does skate just a little bit better, but Plante, for a guy that, when you look at him, doesn't necessarily wow you with his skating, he always seems to get to where he's going, and with that long reach, he uses his size well. So I do think there are definite similarities between the two, and just a few little tweak differences along the way.
According to the AHL website, Oklahoma City's attendance is about mid-pack for the AHL overall. Are fans, do you think, generally pleased with the product that they're watching? Are they excited about the team down there?
I think they are. I think we didn't have any hockey here last year, and the interest in the previous level of hockey was beginning to wane a little in 08 and 09, the last couple of years that we had it before. This is a real sports-minded area. I think in time it will take to the Barons, and the fans that come out really love it. I just think that the AHL season is longer. There were a lot more games early in the year than we used to face when we were in the Central Hockey League. And, of course, college football dominates here, so in October and November, it's really hard to get anyone's attention away from University of Oklahoma football primarily. But I think since the first of the year, the attendance has picked up. The Barons have a rather strict policy where they do not paper the town with a lot of free tickets. So when you see the attendance figures, those are tickets that were actually sold. And we have the fewest comp tickets in the American Hockey League, which indicates that I think the team has done well in that regard in selling tickets and not papering the house with a lot of freebies. But it may take a little more time for everybody to catch on and just to get back in the groove of coming to hockey again. But you see a lot of Baron sweaters at the games, and people seem to really enjoy it. I think the organization has done a good job putting the games on. It's just kind of a growing process here with hockey sort of reigniting this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And good for them for not doing the comp tickets, because once you start doing that, you can't sell them for love nor money. It's just the way it works.
Exactly, and it just devalues the whole thing. It's hard to ask somebody for $20 or $30 for a ticket or for a season ticket to shell out some pretty good money for that and then have them wind up sitting next to somebody that got a freebie. So that was a policy that the ownership that's running the club here for the Oilers has been very adamant about, and I think it's a very good policy as well. Create the demand for your tickets. We have a pretty big building as AHL buildings go. It seats a little over 13,000, so there'd be a temptation to want to put a lot of people in the seats, which everyone wants to do, but if you fall into that temptation of too many free tickets, then it gets hard to sell them on the other side.
Every time we talk to you, it seems like the Oilers have signed a bunch of guys. I'm going to ask you some questions about a few of them, beginning with Tanner House. He played, and he played well last night.
Yeah, it was only his second game. He didn't play in any of the three games in Houston last week. Four games ago, he had played in Milwaukee on that long trip, just a few shifts. They used him at center in that game. He didn't have the chance to get real involved, but last night he got his first AHL and his first pro goal, his first assist as well. He and Milan Kittner teamed last night on a line. They put House over on the wing last night, and that was pretty effective. He's a good size athletic kid out of the University of Maine and an Alberta native, and a guy that appears to be a really good athlete. We haven't seen him play a whole lot yet, just two games, but he can handle himself in the faceoff circle and a terrific-looking athlete and obviously a guy with good character. He was a captain for a couple of years at Maine. So he's here for the rest of the year on an amateur tryout. Then he'll be in the organization next year. So far, the early reviews are quite good.
I was surprised that they signed Arcobello only because of size. But, I mean, he's clearly a skilled guy, and he came up and he's increased his point total from the ECHL. So he's clearly good enough to play at that level. Does he play a gritty game? He's undersized, but what style does he play?
You know, I don't know if I necessarily say gritty. I mean, he has got great balance, and he is a shorter player, but he's strong and a good skater, and he doesn't shy away from contact. But at the same time, you know, I mean, he's a guy that can pick his spots, and he doesn't tend to make himself vulnerable to bigger players and hits and that sort of thing. And if he does wind up, you know, he's pretty good along the boards, but he doesn't necessarily seek out an overwhelmingly gritty game. But much like we saw with Omar when he was here, you know, he's strong enough and a good enough skater and skilled enough that and he's not timid by any means. He's able to make plays in traffic and along the walls and whatnot. But, you know, Arcobello is just a really interesting case. He had pretty good numbers at Yale. And he doesn't maybe have any one particular skill that just stands out, but he just does everything well, and he's got a very good head on his shoulders. He's starting to, as he gains more confidence here, make a lot of plays that come with confidence and little subtle things. They set up a goal on Sunday in Houston that was the result of a nice little subtle bit of stick handling in the slot that set up a goal for Brad Moran, and he's unafraid to shoot the puck, that's for sure. He's a good shooter, and he's been one of the more active shooters since he's been on the team. So he just possesses a nice overall array of skills, and I think they see him as a guy that, you know, I don't know if late bloomer is the term, but, you know, even though he is a bit undersized, is a guy that, you know, might be able to continue to nurture these obvious skills he has offensively.
Three quick ones here, and then we're going to let you go. The Oilers signed Hunter Tremblay. I don't know if he's there yet. The other day after the CIS championship, they have signed Brandon Davidson to a PTO. I don't know if he's played yet. I don't think he has. And then finally, have you heard anything about Martin Marinson signing a PTO?
I heard no. I nothing's been announced on that. Davidson is. Let's back up to the Davidson first. You're right. He has not played yet. He did join the team on that road trip, traveled with the team. He's been practicing with them. Davidson obviously still has another year of junior eligibility left and is here on an amateur tryout, which AHL teams can bring players in on an ATO or amateur tryout once their junior season is up, and as the Springfield team did with Jordan Eberle last year, and then they can return to their junior club next year, obviously. And technically, Tanner House is here on an ATO as well, even though he is signed for next year. He's finishing this year on an amateur tryout. And Tremblay, I understand, was going to be en route, but I have not laid eyes on him yet. I don't know if he'll be officially labeled or listed on our roster for tonight. Same thing with Moranson. They would both be on amateur tryouts for the rest of the year, and then their contract status, you know, would begin for next year, for example, with House and Taylor Fadoon, who was briefly with us but didn't play. They were signed for next year, but they're finishing here on ATOs. So they haven't needed Davidson yet. We have not seen Tremblay or Moranson yet, so I really don't know the status of those guys, but there's certainly a chance that they might end up with us before, you know, before next week's games, for sure. As I looked at the transactions here, nothing has happened officially on either Tremblay or Martin Marinson yet, so they are not officially in the fold.
Jim, every time I talk to you, I learn a whole bunch. Thank you so much for this.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. Well, look forward to your play-by-play, and good luck to the Barons.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Jim Byers, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma City Barons. The AHL has a great site for listening to games, and you can watch them, too, for a price. You might want to check that out because the Barons are an interesting team. This is Nation Radio and Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. Up next, Greg Drennan.